right. It's Monday. We saw some amazing games yesterday, Howard.
It was a pretty solid championship Sunday.
And I'm here behind the microphone to say what I think all of America, all of sane America, wants to say, what they wish they had a show to say. I'm going to put it out there right now. Richard Sherman is a piece of fucking human garbage.
Fuck you, man. Come on. Show some love for the best cornerback in the NFL.
Get the fuck out of here. You know what? As a fat 32-year-old white guy, you know what's going to make my dick rock hard? When in 10 years, that guy is as immobile as me. When he's fucking worthless. And he's left with the vast intellect he claims he possesses. When that's all he's got. When he's getting torched by the young Turks of the league.
Guess what, man? He's going to fall back on that Stanford degree at that point. So I'm not really weeping for the end of his NFL career. I think he'll be all right, man.
The Stanford degree that so many have pointed out, because you get that without the legs. You get that without football in the picture. I fucking love that. That one blew me away. We're going to get to it all in a minute. You're listening to Papa's Football Podcast. I'm John Papagiorgio, joined by Howard Flood.
Pleasure to be here on the eve of the Super Bowl. We got, 2 weeks till then.
I was going
to
say, here.
In the world?
If my Christmas Eve math is correct, we got a couple of weeks until Super Bowl's Eve.
If time were measured by NFL games, we're almost there.
That's true. Yeah, if I could just enter some sort of alien/aliens Ripley in the tube sleep, and I wake up with my cat Jonesy intact, even though he's like 90 years old at that point. He's such a little shit. Sorry, I can go deep. I can go deep on the quotes if we want to. The aliens quotes can come a-pouring. The show's website is pfpod.com. Find us live tweeting games at Papa Football Pod. We do a bunch of it. I mean, to an obnoxious point. I'm shocked. I am shocked we didn't lose followers yesterday. We certainly didn't gain any. God forbid Twitter actually lead to new followers. Fuck, I hate that platform. I really do.
It's slowly losing out to Reddit, I think. I think that Twitter's really starting to lose itself, especially in those moments when there's so much going on. Like a football game, especially the magnitude that we had yesterday.
You think people are posting on Reddit more than live tweeting?
Real time, I think most people are just learning to watch the game.
I think people have to be doing something. We've been spoiled by technology. We have to be doing something with our hands. Digital. Not, not any of that. I snuck one of those in at halftime. Well, who can blame me after watching all those virile young bucks?
Well, after 2 weeks from now during the halftime Super Bowl, you might get a couple in, considering it's a half hour. So,
oh God, really? Fucking Super Bowl halftime is called John Takes One Meaningful Dump Time. That's what has become lately for me. Like, I take some Wheat Thins and some cream cheese and the Sunday paper, and I say, see you kids in 25.
I'll be real, man. Super Bowl Sunday is perhaps one of my least favorite games of the year. It's
oh, absolutely. Yeah. Are you kidding me? It's spectacle.
There's so much delay to the commercials, and there's so much emphasis. I do laugh at the funny Super Bowl commercials, but there are so many.
I hate them all. I even the decent ones. Go fuck yourself.
I could have watched this next week when you just show it in the middle of the shows I watch anyhow.
It's the one game a year. I've done this bit a million times, and you know what? If you're listening to this, if you're still listening to me after 6 years, you get what you deserve, frankly. You think I do a lot of living? No. You're going to hear the same shit over and over. The Super Bowl is one of my least favorite games of the year. It ranks, no joke, maybe in like that week 10, 12 bullshit where like the playoff picture really hasn't been cemented yet, but the Redskins are already out of the picture. So I've kind of had to figure like what teams I'm going to follow for the year.
Right. Yeah, there is a bit of a lull in the second half of the season before that final playoff play.
There's plans. What are we going to do for it? Like, I can't just sit in my room and watch the Super Bowl. God forbid. I have to explain the game to anyone there who's not into football. Like, if I'm at home, I'm just explaining the entirety of the game to my mom.
Yeah.
Both teams look out of sorts.
That's the worst part. Like, so many guys fail to live up to the moment of the bright lights at the Super Bowl. I was thinking yesterday, so the rematch we had between John Fox and Bill Belichick in the AFC Championship game was a rematch of that Super Bowl between the Panthers and the Patriots from 03, I think.
Oh, you mean the Super Bowl before they were busted for Spygate, so Super Bowl they won. Continue.
They did win this one, but that game was one of the worst halves of football I'd ever seen. The first half was so terrible. I got ridiculously drunk because there were so many punts, so many three and outs.
Really, really,
people,
Howard,
were booing at the Super Bowl because the quality of play was so bad.
I'm just going to put it out there. Are we blaming a Super Bowl for you getting drunk?
No,
it could have been a good one. It could have been a bad one. It could have been a Tuesday.
No, I'm telling you, man, like for football.
Play along. Come on.
I chill. With football, I take it easy because I'm really interested in the game, unless the game sucks, at which point I start taking shots. All right. And this is the problem with the Super Bowl. If the quality of the game is as low as it was in 2003, which happens, unfortunately, more often than not.
I honestly started.
More often than it should. This is supposed to be the best game of the year. And like I'd say maybe half of them are disappointing.
Really? I started really intensely watching, I think it was the first year that the Patriots took it. Like when the Rams were expected to win by 45.
Fun game. Rams choked.
Yeah, it was a great game. And of course, we can get into all the taping and cheating talk that we want. But in that time span, so we're talking what, the 01 Super Bowl? That was the one that took place in 02.
Right.
So it was the 01 season. We're now 2013 season. It's been a good game more often than not. Very close, typically. Like, yeah, at least five or six have been last second.
Both teams are not playing up to their potential. This is how I measure a game. It's like, am I watching the team play their best game of the year? Because that's what you do when the championship's on the line, right?
Oh, well,
or do you just choke because...
Yeah, it takes a special breed of freak. And I'm not saying this in any weird or joking way. It takes a special weirdo to be at their best at the Super Bowl. You're not at home. You're not in a stadium really familiar to you at all. It's typically not even a divisional stadium.
That said,
unless you're coming out of the NFC South or the AFC East and you're used to like Miami or the Superdome or whatever.
It's supposed to be a neutral site. It's not supposed to be a true road game either. Because neither team is going to have the advantage as far as like, hey, we got the home crowd here behind us. That's not really how it works.
It's a weird environment, dude.
Yeah.
I'm with you. And not only is it strange to me that they have to take on-field breaks, like three-minute breaks in the middle of a football game for commercials, it's bumped up like crazy for the Super Bowl.
In
not
fairness,
just that.
Yeah.
What, a half hour?
In fairness,
at halftime,
yeah.
Instead of 15?
In fairness to the players, they fuck up the whole thing in order to like bring in the advertising, bring in this bullshit halftime show for the Fairweather fans that are not loyal throughout the season. The worst part about the Super Bowl, if you love football, if you love watching the pros play, they know you're a captive audience for that game. And I am consciously aware of the fact I get fucked every year because I have to sit through all this bullshit to watch the finale, the season finale. I have to sit through so much crap because that's the week when so many other people who don't give a shit actually tune in.
It's horrible. It might as well be the goddamn Victoria's Secret Angels fashion show or whatever the fuck in terms of like the audience it attracts. Like, it gets the dudes, don't get me wrong, but it's a bunch of girls, too, who are like, eh, this is our thing. I forgot what, I was listening to, like, a gay comic or some shit on Opie and Anthony, and he was just ragging on the gay community, because he's like, yeah, fucking Super Bowl's so accepted now, like, every fruit has to have a goddamn Super Bowl party. He's like, when did we stop hating jocks, the guys that beat us up, you know? And so there's, like, gay Super Bowl parties and shit. I get where he's coming from, man. Yeah. Everyone feels they have to do something for the Super Bowl now. It's like, you know what? Fuck you. This is our thing, man. This is FUBU. For football fans by football fans. The acronym didn't work out. Blow me.
I will say, to give credit to the guy who hosted the Super Bowl party, when I did watch the Patriots play the Panthers, no wives were invited, no girlfriends. It was just a bunch of dudes, a couple of Philly blunts. It was pretty fantastic.
Sounds all right.
Yeah. Everybody cared about the result of the game, and we all knew that the commercials were going to be long and painful, so we made the most of those breaks.
I don't get psyched up. To me, I'm not joking, the season died yesterday. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's this weird, false pageantry bullshit. It reminds me like when they drag out the centerfolds in Apocalypse Now on like that weird little floating base or whatever the fuck it was. It's just this weird, come out and smile, boys, dance, and that kind of shit. It's like a slave auction, you know? It's like, go put your best foot forward, you know? Like, Peyton Manning comes out, look at me grin. Fucking everyone has to go out and do their little song and dance. They don't get to play the game they want. You think they want to do that shit? If they're ballers, they don't.
I'll say this. The one The one thing that dismays me about New England not making it into the Super Bowl is the fanfare that would have surrounded Aaron Hernandez's prison cell being only like 100 miles from the site of the Super Bowl. Because that would have been so profound. The number of reporters that would have been in New York,
I guess,
could have just taken a day trip to go hang out with him.
I guess. They have, I think the NFL has told whoever's covering the league, ixnay on so much Hernandez shit. It wasn't mentioned a ton. Like, usually during each game, there was one mention of, and Tom Brady's without his three best receivers. Wes Welker went to Denver. You know, the Polak has his back fucked up for the 19th time, and Aaron Hernandez is in jail.
The thing about the Super Bowl, there's so many news agencies that do not normally cover football that come for this one game a year.
Yeah, but I think they usually go to Radio Row at the game site.
I'm just saying, like, a reporter who's looking to make a name for themselves, who works outside of sports, trying to get like some real coverage, would have done it. It's too easy a story.
It's not like they're going to show up and crack the case.
No, but they're going to move to the top of the storyline pile if the Patriots are in the Super Bowl and they're able to get the Aaron Hernandez interview. So, because that's a great way to say, dear NFL, fuck you. You have a team in the Super Bowl that most recently had a murderer on its roster. So it's one of these storylines that probably should not have been buried as much as it was. And the Super Bowl really would have magnified it. So I think it's probably better for the league, honestly, that the Patriots didn't make it for that very reason.
No, we're going to move past it. It's fucking crazy. When you really just don't forget it.
Yeah.
Don't forget it. Once in a blue moon. Think to yourself, a dude who had like the majority of his athletic career ahead of him on a squeaky clean team who just signed a fat fucking contract is now like showering once a week and hoping he doesn't get fucking tested in it when it goes down. It's insane. It really is. Like, you know what he has to look forward to now? Sloppy Joe Wednesday. That's the highlight of his goddamn life.
And it's just, you looked at the game on the field. And all anybody could talk about I have other things to say about why Tom Brady is overrated, but the reality is he didn't have any weapons in the receiving core because Gronk is out.
Nah, fucking Vince Wilfork screwed on the defense. I mean, like, it's all fifth stringers on that damn team.
Still, like, Aaron Hernandez would have made a massive difference in that game.
Oh, yeah, just a bit. Just a bit.
that is a storyline to me. As much as they're saying, oh, he has an inexperienced receiving core, well, let's delve deeper into why that receiving core was so inexperienced. Oh, you had two tight ends signed to these massive contracts because they were supposed to be the cornerstone of your receiving game. And guess what? Gronk's been prone to injury, and this other guy's out 25 to life. This is a big issue.
I mean, it's the most bizarre thing since Sean Taylor got killed, really, if you get down to it. And this one's far weirder because Sean Taylor got killed by some random savage animal that busted into his house and ended his life. Aaron Hernandez did this willingly.
Well, I mean, he was drugged up, so.
Was he? Was he all PCP'd up?
Yeah, he literally rotted his brain.
Yeah, so you know who doesn't give reality. A fuck me? Did someone put a gun to his head? They're like, yo, take this, yo.
Well,
Smoke this boat, son.
No, he's guilty. It's the problem is.
What is this, training day? Fucking pulls out the blunt. Smoke this. We have got a problem.
No, I'm just saying, like, he probably doesn't understand reality. I've heard he's written letters like, I did not do this. He probably has convinced himself that he didn't. But it's it's one of those amazing things you can do when your brain is barely functional due to either excessive drug use or the withdrawal after you stop using it. So one way or the other, the guy's fucked in the head.
I guess, man. I used to do a ton of drugs in the day. I never, like, killed someone or masturbated in public. Although Christ knows I would have liked to get away with it either in my teenage years.
No, it's proof that he's a bad person. There's nothing to say that this is going to be acceptable behavior just because you like smoking some PCP or whatever the fuck else he was doing. But, I mean, that storyline has gone away now that the Patriots are out. And for me, I think if you're just going to talk about the Patriots and the on-field performance, everybody was talking about the Brady versus Manning matchup. And now I think the storyline is, well, are we flipping the script about the way that we look at Manning and the way we look at Brady?
That exact verbiage was used, I think, on SI.com or Pro Football Talk, the quote-unquote flipping of the script, since now white people get to say black things, since Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I mean, for me, I think the reality is most people overestimated Brady's talent for a very, very long time.
I don't know if it was so much his talent was overestimated, underestimated, whatever the hell. It's just the dude seemed very clutch. It was very Derek Jeter-esque. Sorry, fucking everyone keeps texting me. I get a picture of a baby from Allison. Oh, it's got a boner drawn on the side of its face going toward its mouth. Okay, that's pretty good.
No, but what I'm trying to highlight is in those early matchups when Brady supposedly owned Peyton Manning.
Yeah, it was, you know, Brady didn't have as good a regular season. Manning typically, how many goddamn times did the Colts start off, what, 11-0? I mean, it was just, it was like a girl getting her fucking period, if you're lucky. Otherwise, she's late and you're doomed.
But I remember watching those games, like, as they were happening, and every time, it was never about Brady versus Manning. To me, it was always Manning versus the Patriots secondary, because they would own him. And I'm just like, on the other side of the ball for the Colts, they just didn't have that kind of game to stop whatever New England was throwing at them.
Was it? Yeah, it's not like fucking Manning laces up and is suddenly a cornerback. We don't have two-way football anymore.
I know. Yeah.
And vice versa. It wasn't like Brady grabbed a pick six and was like, suck it, you big four-headed bastard.
Yeah. I mean, to me, the biggest thing that happened was in 05. The league changed the way that pass interference was called, basically because Manning kept losing to that Patriots secondary.
And God bless the league for that.
You're getting me so angry right
now. They can reset that rule as the instant Peyton retires. I don't give a shit after that. When Peyton retires, it can go back to 1976, put a fucking chunk of a cinder block in your hand, and jam up a receiver all the live long day.
I mean, to me, I've never thought Tom Brady was a better quarterback than Peyton Manning.
No, I think anyone who believes that truly doesn't understand the limitations of the teams Peyton was on for the longest time.
I also think they underestimate how difficult it is to call a football game. And the reality is, Peyton Manning, his biggest flaw to me is he doesn't know how to call run plays. Although he's done fantastic this year. This has been his best year of calling running plays,
it's
in my
great.
Opinion.
If anything, being older and a little more humble has made him that much more dangerous, because he's like, oh, I don't really have the capabilities to single-handedly win this shit anymore. I'm going to employ this thing called team around me.
So I'm excited to see what he does in play calling against this vaunted Seattle defense in the Super Bowl. I'm really excited about, like, I think this is going to be a great matchup. Like, this is what pay to see.
I think he carves them up. I'm putting it out there right now. I think fucking it won't be close. That's just me.
I just think he's got to call run plays, because if he can't keep that pass rush, Seattle rarely blitzes. So if they're just bringing four and they're getting to him, he's not going to do well.
But I don't think they can bring four and get to him. Denver, like,
really?
Dude, their line is good. Like, I don't know the strength of the front four or whatever.
They're
a
lot better than the pass rush of the Patriots. Let's say that.
I mean, the guy wasn't even hustled yesterday, though.
Yeah, and he's going to be fucking stunned when he starts seeing the best front four in football coming at him play after play after play. I mean, he's great at picking up exactly how to help his offensive line pass block. The problem is, like, this is going to be moving
a lot
faster. A word
of encouragement here and there. Is that it? Like, hey, man, you're doing great.
I think he's going to be a little surprised in the first quarter. I mean, I just don't think that he's really going to have as good a first half as he would the second half, because he's not going to be used to the speed that this front four has. So
I just hope it isn't like that fucking Texas National Championship, what, when McCoy was out, like, on the first drive or whatever.
Oh, right, yeah.
And then we just had a bloodbath, and it was like, why am I even watching this?
Hey, fuck you. It was within three. It was within three in the fourth quarter. It was 24-21.
Was it really?
Yeah, there was a comeback in the third quarter.
Somehow in my head, I remember he had that injury when I got up to, like, eat a burger or some shit.
No, the first half was horrible.
And I came back, and I was like, I'm going to take a shit and hit the gym.
Yeah.
And I did that.
First half was painful to watch. Even Nick Saban's halftime interview, you could tell that he just felt like, this isn't a game. This is just us whooping up on, like, a freshman. It was a true freshman, like, backup quarterback.
Fucking insanity. Yeah. Fucking insanity. That's your backup plan.
But what are you talking? Freshman. What's the reference there to this upcoming Super Bowl?
Oh, I hope his goddamn brittle spine isn't snapped by an actual pass rush.
No, it's not going to be like that. I mean, they protect quarterbacks so much now. They're very careful in the Seattle defense and the way that they hit people. Versus, you know, San Fran, like Whitner. Yesterday's game had this one hit.
The Whitner boy.
I mean, he definitely, like, that guy clearly is not trying to avoid helmet-to-helmet contact or, like, hitting defenseless receivers. Because he had one of those calls yesterday. Everybody on Fox was saying it was, like, a terrible, terrible call by the refs. I know the refs did have some terrible calls in the 49ers game, but that was not one of them. Whereas I do feel like Seattle's players have learned how to hit to perfection within the rules. Like, they do not go helmet-to-helmet. They're always going for the ball.
They're the most penalized team in football. I don't know how you say that. Is it not because of that?
I don't think it's from that as much.
Okay.
It's not that as much. They do that, but I think it's more for a purpose. I think there's more of a purpose behind an illegal hit for them instead of just, like, I'm just trying to, like, whack somebody.
Oh, you think it's to send a message?
Occasionally.
Interesting.
I think occasionally, yes.
Interesting. I didn't see that many Seattle games this year. In fact, I maybe saw their last four. That's right. It was like that weekend when all the games had snow in the Midwest and the East Coast. And I was like, fuck this. I'm not watching the goddamn Ravens and Skins. I'm not limiting my shit. And I hopped on the magical interwebs and started just streaming games. And I haven't looked back since. And I've watched a lot of Seattle since then. I think that kind of goes hand in hand with when, honestly, they've looked downright pedestrian on offense.
Like, right, well, yeah. It's
fucking, I'm not going to say he's Trent Dilfer. But Russell Wilson's like, he's not running as nearly as well as he was the first half of the year.
Here's the thing. He looks like Tom Brady in 2001. And Brady got a ring that year. And you have a very similar matchup between, like, a young quarterback and this monster of an offense, this juggernaut.
Yeah.
Led by a quarterback who's setting records, scoring all kinds of touchdowns.
Not the worst analogy I've ever heard. So you're saying if Seattle doesn't cheat blatantly, they will lose.
Well, here's the thing.
So, like, I like Denver's odds then.
The problem is Peyton Manning doesn't have a Marshall Faulk behind him. And that was the biggest flaw of the Rams' play calling that Super Bowl.
He's got tear ducts.
Who is good. However, you know, he hasn't really been much of a 1,000-yard rusher in his career. This has been his best season by far. So,
How old is No'Shawn?
I think he's probably around 27.
Is he that old? Shit. Okay.
26. Yeah. Anyway, like, when I look at the Denver offense, I think the biggest problem Peyton's going to have is going to be the pass rush. Can he pick it up? And what makes Seattle such a great defense, who is he going to throw the ball to? Is he going to be able to go up against Richard Sherman?
Probably an eligible receiver, Howard.
Who's going to catch it? Because it might just be Richard Sherman tipping it to his teammate again, like he did at the end of the championship game. Did you like that play? That was one of the best plays I've seen defensively in a critical moment like that in the playoffs.
Oh, you mean the guy who caught the ball, not Richard Sherman, who just smacked it like an anus.
Are you kidding? That was an unreal, unreal play on his part. Because
The guy who caught the ball. That's what you're talking about, right?
No, I could have caught that ball off the tip. How many people can make that tip, though? If that ball were tipped to me in that situation, I would have caught
it. If you're asking me, can I stick my hand in the path of a football, probably.
You couldn't get up there. You couldn't time it. You're full of shit, man. That's one of the most, like, give the man some credit, at least for his on-the-field play, despite whatever you think about the shitty talk.
I love agitating you. I love playing Richard Sherman to your white America when we sit in the studio. Except I'm witty about it. I'm not just, you mad, bro? You mad, bro?
I mean, here's one thing I'm going to defend. I think, one of the things that people were upset about is the way that he continued to talk shit about Crabtree in the press conference. I don't think what he was actually saying is as offensive as most people understand it. He did refer to Michael Crabtree as a mediocre receiver.
It's not offensive. He's just a prick. I mean, we'll go down the list. Whenever you want to launch into the Sherman segment, this is all I've wanted to record all day.
You want to talk about that this week or next week? Because it's still going to be a story next week.
It's the fresh thing today.
All right. Well, let me tell you this.
If it's a story next week, we rehash it.
Let me defend him
first.
Give
him second helpings. Sure.
The one thing about his press conference is when he was describing what is wrong with Michael Crabtree, he simply referred to him as a mediocre receiver. That was a soundbite everybody was looking for.
I'm fine with that.
And his point was, if you were to have a fantasy draft and you were to select the first 10 receivers in the NFL, he would not be one of them.
I'm fine with
and
that.
And I'm like,
too.
If that's your definition of mediocrity, which, you know, mediocre does kind of mean you're kind of in the middle of the pack, I'm going to take that. I think one of the things I like about him, I think he's trying to expand the vocabulary of America.
Oh, get the fuck out of it. Really? He's reading rainbowing us?
Well, I'm saying most people think
the
mediocre simply means that, like, you're bad at something. It means that you're.
If he got the definition right, he tripped over it. Let's put it that way.
No,
let's stop acting like this is some goddamn 150-point IQ savant. The guy's got 115, maybe. He can rub a couple brain cells together and catch a ball. Ooh-hoo! Ooh! Oh, God. This is the Salk of our generation.
I'm sorry, man, but I know you've worked on sports radio before, but I think he's got one up on most people who work in sports journalism.
Oh, you think the apes I worked with? I would trust them to operate me if I gut shot on the field of battle. I love my former coworkers, but
I watched, like, obviously Skip Bayless is not like the like best example of somebody who works in sports journalism, but I'd say that he's had a pretty successful career.
Why are we pointing towards broadcasters as shining pearls of intellect?
No, he actually worked
for fucking retards.
He worked for the Dallas Morning News before. Like he was a legitimate newspaper man.
Okay,
back in the day. But it's still, like, if you work as a newspaper sports journalist, you're still at the bottom of barrel when it comes to journalism. Like, that's just the way it is. Like, you are making a commitment to, reference back to the word, mediocrity at best. So, for him, like, when I saw Richard Sherman go up against Skip Bayless, it wasn't, like, perfect. But to me, I just felt like he definitely...
I liked it when Richard Sherman went up against Trent Williams.
See, but that's Trent losing his cool, man. I don't know, like...
Well, it was Richard pulling his usual bullshit, yeah. Where, like, in writing... We'll get to it all in a second. In writing, he can be like, I said great game, and you listen to the footage, the clip, the intonation, just like, great game, guys! Great game! Yeah. Like, it's the fucking dicky little, like, blonde-haired, blue-eyed kid named Bradley who teed you off after the fucking soccer loss. Back in 89?
Yeah, I'm not buying the garbage that he posted on SI today. That's
we'll analyze that in a second. Don't get me wrong. Just get the fuck out of here with all of it, man.
It's entertainment, man. To me, he's part of the entertainment package that the NFL is bringing. He doesn't really swear when he does these interviews. He really is trying to deliver messages.
A lot of people point to that, and they're like, dude, he's doing a heel act. He's a heel. If you don't know wrestling terminology, that means he's the prick. He's the gorgeous George who walks into the ring and pulls out his fucking Georgie pins from his flowing blonde locks, and everyone loses their fucking mind at the guy. Yeah. I don't see it as that. He's just really an obnoxious asshole who just commandeers. Like, I don't give a shit about really many individual players whatsoever on the field. It almost sickens me that he puts himself out there to this degree. So what if he's a great corner? Do we really give a fuck who the great corner is? Like, if you want to know your place in the league, bro, look at who gets the fucking contract, bro. Look who makes the millions, bro. All right? We care about our damn quarterbacks in this league. That's what really moves and shakes, ass.
Lately, the best cornerback in the league has been getting a nice paycheck.
Yeah, what's it got, 16? Revis?
Revis got that, and then Asamoah before that. I think Asamoah retired, didn't he? I mean, he went from being the top-paid cornerback in the league to being
Nnamdi.
Out of it. Yeah.
Nnamdi.
But I mean, like...
Has anyone thought that was a good pay? That was a good move, by the way? In Tampa, did they think that was a great use of quarterback kind of money?
I think people do get a benefit from that kind of contract for maybe a year or two. The guy's got to stay healthy, of course, but that's any position. I mean, the reality is with cornerback, you lose like a tenth of a second off your 40 time. Guess what? Like, you're basically back in the middle of the pack again.
Yeah. I can't wait until Sherman's a mediocrity. Since he's so big on vocabulary. Yeah. So let's do the whole Richard Sherman bit. The front page. He does a column every Monday called On the Monday Morning Quarterback, which is kind of SportsIllustrated.com's answer in part to ProFootballTalk.com, which is a better site because they reference Seinfeld a lot. So he does his weekly column where he tries to put out the whole, like, I'm an intellectual guy, not just the ass. And you know what? I'm not saying the dude's dumb. I'm just saying you're not fucking brilliant either, dude. Like, anyone who really is out there and they're like, I'm smart. Howard, have they ever been that smart? You're a smart dude. You and I, we don't talk about this at all on air, especially because we're horrible underachievers when it comes to, like, the economics of life.
Right.
We each got, like, 150 IQs. We're, like, freakish, top of the top. I got, like, the 1600 out of 1600 on the SATs. You got 1590 out of 1600.
Still mad you beat me.
Yeah, I know. Suck it.
But still,
suck
like,
it, second Mike.
I really like. I don't have a problem with him doing this as much as you do in that respect. I really don't. I mean, I hear you what you're saying.
Like, I'd be fine with it if he wasn't a douche about it. Like, if he was just like, I'm the best, but that guy's good or something like that.
I mean, I do feel like part of his...
Just the crowing is so creepy.
I think part of why he does it is also his fear and concern that in American society, most people don't believe that a black athlete, black male athlete, can be both... talented in sports and intelligent. And so I think that's why he feels like he has to apologize more and just put that more in your face.
Isn't it like the saddest thing ever that the way he proves he's intelligent then is by being an asshole and then like quote unquote articulately and well spokenly explaining why he's an asshole?
I get a kick out of it, man.
A lot of people do. I mean, to me, he's a piece of shit. I don't know what else to say. Like, I doesn't boil my blood or any shit. I'm like, I wish he died. I'd love if he fell down, tore out his knees. That'd be great.
I mean, it's one of those things where he's really setting himself for a hard fall. This is the one thing, like, if you were my friend, I'd just be like, hey, man.
Like, what is it, you know, this guy, there's just a way you do it. It's not like I'm afraid of articulate, intelligent black people. Fucking love Tupac. Tupac loved being like, I'm a smart black dude. I'm smarter than like 90% of the white people out there. You know what he was? Tupac was great. That was a smart, fucking cunning, intelligent dude contributing with his words. Sherman's a punk. He's a fucking punk. And here's what gets me. If you're not as smart as you think you are, I fucking hate you. If you're rubbing that in my face, because god damn it, dude, the way you're going to shame Crabtree with your intellect, I'll fucking shit all over you with my brain. And it ain't going to be close. It's just that simple.
All right, man. I mean, I really don't begrudge him in the same way that you do. And I do kind of feel him on the perceived discrimination that he tweeted about yesterday as far as...
Because he acted like a piece of shit and then a bunch of people tweeted nigger at him. Which, like, again, well, if you're calling a black dude that, you kind of lost the moral high ground argument
all of a sudden.
But, like, I was tweeting what a piece of garbage he was.
Yeah, that's not necessarily a racist
How's
response.
It racist? I didn't know the G word was a slur for blacks.
No, but I mean, there was this comment that someone tweeted at Aaron Andrews, like, were you afraid when he was going off like that? And it's like, no, like, this guy's all bark. Haven't you noticed? Like, when Trent Williams punched him in the face, he knew, don't hit back.
Oh, he's such a little bitch about it. I watched the clip literally earlier today, and he's like, great game, great game. And Trent was just kind of like, what'd you say? And then immediately, he's just like, I was just talking, bro. I was just talking. That kind of shit. And it's like, that's what you get, dude. You're fucking with a grown-ass man, quote-unquote.
I mean, it's... Look,
man who, by virtue of his physical size, does not have to suffer fools lightly, as it were.
You know, sports is often full of trash talk, and I think it's a little different in our Twitterverse these days, because I saw an interview with Darren Woodson on ESPN with Richard Sherman, and they were just talking about Darren Woodson's old teammate, Charles Haley, and his way of getting into an opponent's head was...
Beetle Bailey, Alex Haley. No ODB rhyme recognition.
Damn. Okay. But with Charles Haley, he used to get a book, basically, on the opposing offensive lineman that he was going to rush, and so he would... like, bring up creepy facts about, you know, family members and other things in order to get into a guy's head. And Richard Sherman looked at Darren Woodson when he heard this. He's like, no, man, that's just weird. And we live in a world where you can easily Google this stuff. It's not like he goes out there and decides to, like, look up information about a receiver's mother in order to talk shit. I mean,
would show some actual effort.
That's pretty... Man, why you gotta talk about somebody's mom like that? That's weird. I mean, he does have these moral boundaries that he's not crossing. To me, that's a little bit much when Charles Haley's like, hey, man. Learned about your mom.
How's your mom's leukemia? That shit in remission, son.
Found this picture of her in Playboy from 1972. You know, that's kind of messed up, man. Yeah. You don't need to be doing that.
That's Bryant's mom?
Oh, come on, man. Get out of here, Jeff Ireland.
Was she the first African-American centerfold? I'm trying to remember who that broad was. It was 1990. Definitely whacked one out to that.
Vanessa Williams, no?
No, that was Penthouse.
All right.
Forgot who the chick was. Sometime in 90, Playboy had its first black playmate of the year, I believe. She wasn't the first black playmate. They definitely did that back in the 60s.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
Like, yeah, she was the PMOY.
Mm.
1990. Renee something? Oh, I'm looking this up now. Go ahead and look it up. We'll let it go. Someone will leave it in the comments.
All right, fine. But here, let's...
I'm thinking really profound. Really profound's got us covered.
So you obviously have a hatred for... I don't even think we have to do real picks here because you obviously
even done with this shit, man.
All right.
Like, just the front page of SI. We're getting back to the Monday morning quarterback thing. By Richard Sherman. This is the title that fucking the honkies around him put up. Thrilled, comma, proud, comma, upset. My post-game display, question mark? Just passion in the moment. But that is just a small part of the person I am. By Richard Sherman. And now, this is what really gets me. They have him as one of their writers, and half of the little articles in the drop-down box, if you will, just kind of a greatest hits of what's going on in sports. The top one all day has been, smack-talking Sherman relishes ruffling feathers. What kind of alliterative shithead came out with that, by the way? Smack-talking Sherman relishes ruffling. Shithead retard for an extra SNR in the middle. So we click on this delightful display. And the big quote that's flashed up, I was loud, it was in the moment, and it was just a small part of the person I am. Why do I have to, like, I'm not saying Richard Sherman as a being is bad. And I hate this provocateur bullshit when he acts out in this manner. Can we just agree that's acting out?
And acting out in what fashion?
It's acting out in that in the course of a normal football game, the average football player doesn't behave in that manner after a win. Usually it's like, thank you, Jesus. Thanks, Mom. Coach such and such. Shit like that.
He's got some sort of chip on his shoulder that motivates him to be this way.
Okay. So then when we attack him and just shit on that behavior, he plays the wounded party. It's like dealing with a crazy woman. To be quite honest, it's like, I don't know why you'd say these things about me. It's like, because you're acting like a psycho bitch 5 seconds ago. And so when he pulls the, this is just a small part of me. Well, great. You know who I am just because I tweeted you're a piece of shit. Like, it's a two-way street. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll say this. So, like, when he was talking about on Twitter, like, hey, yo, people are being racist towards me. It's MLK Day. Like, some people are not recognizing the importance of that in the 21st century. To me, my instant reaction was, you know, the whole idea of the I have a dream speech is that you are supposed to judge people on the content of their character and not the color of their skin.
To me, it isn't a black thing. If that was a white dude, there would be nothing funny about him.
Yeah, no, it's annoying. I'll give you that.
What kind of fucking maniac are you? In all seriousness. Like, maybe people want, we're supposed to want more from our athletes or some shit. I don't. I want the standard Pat bullshit, like, oh, yeah, God, America, apple pie, football, this trophy is for you, Jesus. And then you walk off. I don't, like, 10 years from now, I want to read the tell-all book where you were fucking, like, wiping your ass and flinging shit at the defensive coordinator during team meetings and crap like that. You want to read a good book about what football really is? Fucking, was it? God damn it.
North Dallas 40?
No, Boys Will Be Boys.
All right.
And it's about the Dallas dynasty years. And I'm trying, is it, oh God, who the fuck is it? The guy, I'm going to look up his name right now. He used to scream when he was off his meds, I am the last naked warrior. It was Charles Haley.
Nah.
It was back to Charles Haley. Charles Haley would literally pull out his penis and just start like masturbating in the middle of meetings and shit like that.
Wow.
Like, it's hilarious. Just keep it off the field, man. Like, if he got on Twitter, no bullshit, if he got on Twitter and said all of the bullshit he said later, I'm fine with that. If he recorded a YouTube video saying, fuck you, Michael Crabtree, I'm fine with that. What set me off, I didn't even see the Aaron Andrews video. Like, I immediately, as soon as the game ended, I started tweeting Richard Sherman, piece of shit. Because, like, the instant he breaks up the pass play, he starts making the choke motion at Kaepernick. A man who, up until that point, literally single-handedly almost beat his entire fucking team. If we're going to be quite honest. I think there's something like 365 offensive yards, 335 offensive yards for San Fran. He had, like, 309 Frank Gore might as well have been picking fucking flowers in the countryside for all he goddamn contributed. Yeah. And you're going to give him the chokey chokey? You know who you can give the chokey chokey to? Tony Romo. That's a man that earns the chokey.
Well, I mean, he's just trying to get into an opponent's head, man.
The game's over.
Hey, no, that's totally a divisional rival. Water. That's a divisional rival that you got to play twice next year. So you got to remind him.
No,
you are
giving him entirely too much credit.
No, it's just, I think it was an instinctive thing because it's like, I'm so tired of playing these assholes twice a year. I'm going to do whatever I can to get an edge every time I play the San Francisco 49ers. That's what I would think.
There's a neighborhood crackhead like Ezel from Friday, and he's stealing money from fat people. And you're like, look at him, concerned that they're going to overeat with that money, keeping them in shape. No, he's just a piece of shit crackhead who's stealing. If the family was starving, he would have done it too. You really think he would have done the choke move against anyone else? He would have if he had any sort of beef with them. It has nothing to do with the divisional shit.
Just constantly trying to get up a one-up on people. And he's constantly trying to convince himself that he's willing to one-up other people all the time because he himself feels like he could take it in the rare occasion that he is beat. And, you know, for now, he's not going to get beat that often. He's going to win more of these battles than he'll lose. So he's going to be this way until he actually loses a step.
Well, the team, even next year, is fucked because his contract is up. And he was like a fifth-round pick. So just like goddamn... Oh, God. Something came up with that one. Thank God.
Well, Russell Wilson's contract isn't up for another year. So
Wilson's
they got him
got
for
like
cheap next
2 years.
Year.
Yeah. Sherman is up next year, along with Eric. What's his tits? Someone else good on their team? Who the fuck?
They got. No, there's a couple guys on the defense that are freeing up, so...
And I mean, they're going to go from what, 750? A fifth round pick for however many years in, he's what, 600,000 a year?
I mean, that would restructure that defense. Like, the one thing about being able to sustain that level, you have to be like New England has been with replenishing at certain positions and just knowing when to cut certain people based on the inability to keep everybody who's good. Yeah. And then just hoping you draft well. You got to be able to scout the college ranks very, very well. So. It's not like this is the last time that Seattle's going to go into the draft and pick these like third to fifth rounders who are going to suddenly turn into studs. Like, this is the only way to win in the NFL right now. So you better have a good scouting department.
Well, here he is. I won't say flipping out with Aaron Andrews. Oh, God, what a body on that bitch. the lid ain't the best, but fuck.
Bit of a ghoulish face, yeah.
A little masculine. A little bit of the big Mussolini nose and chin, you know? A little little pronounced. But here he is doing his thing, which, yeah, did you feel safe? Of course. You're in the middle of... What's he gonna fucking lose his mind and rape the white woman after it? Come the fuck up.
That's so offensive, man.
It is.
People gotta say that.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're gonna get. Don't you ever talk about me.
Talking about you.
Crabtree, don't you open your mouth about the best. Or I'm gonna shut it for you real quick.
That's if you want to know how fucking insane he is, and truly inarticulate, if you will, and what a raving loony's like, just listen to that. Like, oh, who is talking about you? That's the reaction of like 90% of anyone out there, like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude?
For like a moment, it did sound like a schizophrenic, like a paranoid schizophrenic delusion. You know, he was hallucinating about all these. There are these voices that are saying,
they talking shit about me. I shut them up, yo. Fucking Tracy Morgan and 30 Rock.
Yeah, no, that did sound a bit delusional for a moment. Because I didn't really, like, pay much attention to why he got the flag. I saw him taunting. I'm like, do you really have to do that?
Yeah, that I didn't even see that interview. Again, when I was tweeting, I already shut off the game. I'm like, oh, it's over, and I don't want to see Seattle celebrate. Pop that zit.
All right, well.
I immediately shut it off, and I had on True Detective within 30 seconds.
I'm glad that your deep hatred for Richard Sherman has given us dozens of minutes discussing.
Here are the final things I'm going to lay down.
All right.
One, dude, you ain't Muhammad Ali. I know you fucking think you are. You're not. You're not that smart, and you are on a goddamn team, and you want to act like you're a one-man army out there? You're fucking not. There's like, the quarterback isn't even a one-man army out there. You want to, as a cornerback, you want to think you're the fucking decider? Get the fuck out of here.
All right, man. Anything else? Because to me, it's just, that shouldn't have been the top story that everybody made it out to be today. I really would have liked to talk more about the games, but
I mean, Denver's game was just a stunning reversal of roles, like you said, the quote unquote flipping of the script where Brady looked like he couldn't win for losing.
But we should be talking about that today.
I don't know.
We should be talking about that more today. Or we could be talking about the upcoming matchup of Russell Wilson versus Peyton Manning. Because those are two things that are much more interesting to me than like Richard Sherman and Michael Crabtree.
I guess, but that's hardcore. This is hilarious.
Yeah, no, I mean, all right, yeah. We've got 2 weeks to talk about like the reality
of football.
This gets
easy listens with people who get worked up who will care one way or the other.
It sucks because I just want to talk about Tom Brady not being that good a quarterback, and nobody really wants to hear that right now.
I'll rush. Hell, I got more Richard Sherman shit. I'll just put it out there. If the dude's as smart as he thinks he is, then he truly... Here's the real argument that's foolproof. If he was as smart as he thinks he is, then he knows why he agitates people. And he wouldn't constantly do the, what, me? Kind of move. If you have any idea, really, of what you're doing, if you have any sort... If you're not an autistic, like, if you're socially clued in and can read expressions... And, like, understand, well, if I do this socially, it has this as a reaction. You wouldn't constantly be like, oh, why does everyone hate me? Why was I called this on Twitter? You'd know. I don't think Russell Wilson won the game yesterday and had, like, fucking 500,000 you half jig tweets. You know what I mean? Like, not that it's excusable in any way, shape, or form. Like, really, him being black has nothing to do with him being a piece of shit.
But
he's just an idiot.
That's the problem I have with this tweet talking about why are people getting racist when it's supposed to be a time that we remember MLK.
Oh, get the fuck
and
out of
just,
here.
And it's just, to me, it's just like, yeah, again, he asked to be have people judge based on the content of their character, not the color of their skin. And most of the people who are pissed at Richard Sherman think he's a dick.
Yeah.
That's it. I actually am entertained by what he says. I wouldn't let it get to me because I just think he's kind of hyping it up for entertainment purposes. This is great publicity for him in the future. Like, he's basically lining himself up to be in a booth once he finishes playing football. And the reality is, it's sports journalism, so he's probably going to be smarter than most people in the room anyway. It's not that high a bar.
He's done nothing that makes me think he's anything intelligent, other than saying I'm intelligent. That's it. You know, fuck. Hey, guess what? I can fly. Is there any real, like, until I have to sit there and fly in front of you, or you say, fuck you. Like, until this guy sits down and takes an IQ test, what the fuck do I... Whatever. He's done nothing that really proves... What, he screams like bust a bus on, you know, at a rap battle, and I'm supposed to give a shit and crown him the brain of my decade, of my generation?
Well, we'll see. I mean, I'd like to see if he actually tries to get into coaching as opposed to just being a talking head. Because, you know, frankly, it does take a lot more acumen to be writing X's and O's.
I hope he gets into it, and I hope he eats shit like Mike Singletary. I hope he fucking just eats.
Why have you got to hate on Mike Singletary like that? That's a low blow. That's
Because Mike sucked and, like, pulled out his ass during some halftime speech to fire up his troops.
I forgot about that.
And then he was like, I was trying to make the point that if they're going to act like clowns out there, I'm going to act like a clown too or something like that. It's like, I think he just ran out of shit to say. You're like, here's my ass.
Oh, man.
The whole full moon.
What a strange.
Yeah. Oh. And then the whole, the last thing. What's his face? Sherman is pointing out. He's like, well, the only reason I did this is because Crabtree tried to fight me at a charity event for Larry Fitzgerald or held by Larry Fitzgerald last year. Like, that's the line he pulled.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's like, you know who the source was on that, by the way? His fucking brother, Branton. It's like, Branton Sherman reported to the Seattle Times. Oh, really? Oh, really?
That's ridiculous.
So it's like, if you see me and I, like, break into, I don't know, some pastry shop or some shit, and they're like, why did John do this? Is it because he's a fat, gluttonous pig? And then the Washington Post reports, according to Will Papagiorgio, they owed John Papagiorgio money. Guess what? It's probably a little spurious.
But, I mean, here is proof that Richard Sherman is smarter than most sports media. Like, to me, the biggest thing that he was trying to accomplish is getting into Michael Crabtree's head. And with his comments, he set off a firestorm that had so many reporters shoving their microphones or the recording devices into Crabtree's face in order to talk to him about Richard Sherman. And this is really unproductive for that individual player.
Well, like, this season's over. I don't think it fucking matters.
It's going to, like, be following him into next season.
Like, because it'll be the storyline the first time they play again. And they could start, I guess, if they win, like, the 49ers versus Seattle's a very likely season opener. Do you not think so?
It's up there. I just think all those dumbass, like, beat reporters who are going to show up and, like, shove a fucking recording device into Michael Crabtree's face that ask him questions about Richard Sherman, they're doing Richard Sherman's job. They're doing exactly what he wants them to do, which is to harass the receiver that he's responsible
for. I don't have
cover.
Anything to say about that clown.
Yes, somebody needs to talk to Crabtree from the PR department or Harbaugh's staff to say, listen, do not fall for this shit.
Well, has he said anything?
Oh, he responded yesterday.
What did he say?
He responded on Twitter, and then, like, there was just a series of questions where I just felt bad for him because they're
I hope he just opened his mouth and then pointed at his nuts and went, both of them. Both of them, kid.
I mean, they were just, the reality of the play is, and when you, like, hear people talk about it, it's just, like, it was kind of a poor throw.
It was a forced throw. He was covered, but they had, like, what, 10 seconds left in his fourth down. What the fuck do you want to happen?
You can't, how do you put Crabtree in the position of saying, yeah, you know, if the ball was a little higher, like, I would have caught it. Because that's probably true.
Yeah, exactly.
And is he supposed to, like, throw his quarterback under the bus? No, he's a good teammate. He's not going to do that. So he's going to, like, try to come up with ways to say, like, hey, he made a good play. I think that's all he was saying is, like, guy made a good play. And that's what it did. But, you know, I got to play 60 minutes of football against him. Like, you got to tell me, how is he the best player in the world or whatever if he's only making one play a game? I mean, then you get in the whole debate of, like, well, people might throw it at him anyway. And it's just, it's a waste of time for Michael Crabtree to have to address questions about Richard Sherman. It really is.
That was the second time you've Crabtreed.
What do you mean?
I'm throwing my quarterback under the bus. Instead of Crabtree, it's a tough one for you.
Crabtree? Yeah.
Well, you've Crabtreed.
I'm trying to be as objective as possible at him, but he cost Texas a chance at the national title in 07.
Which sounds a lot like drab tea. Good old drab t-shirt. Hope you've been well, buddy. Shall we wrap this one up? We can do the picks next week. I guess that's a way we can tease.
Come on, man. Like, we know that you're picking against Seattle. Let's just say that.
Yes.
Can I just, like, say
one thing? Not to spoil the spoilers.
Now that you're hating on Sherman, let me go after, like,
I've hated him all
my
season.
Most hated.
I thought he was a dong for a long
time.
Let me
go for the guy that I hate the most in the NFL. That's Jim Irsay.
Yeah, Irsay's a twat. He's a drunken buffoon.
I am starting to think. I haven't picked yet because I'm not going to pick who I think will win. I think I'm going to go for who I want to win. Because what's the point of picking who you think will win?
I don't really see a big point. Something you can either shove in people's faces or get made fun of.
You know what I think would be the perfect storyline in 2 years? Peyton Manning has 2 Super Bowl rings with the Denver Broncos and only 1 with Indianapolis.
Be incredible.
Because who does he go in as into the Hall of Fame as?
Ooh, that would be so amazing.
That would be so amazing if he went in as a Bronco. He would have to if he had 2 rings.
If he gets even 1, it's kind of a debate. I don't know, considering how that went
considering
down.
Considering the ridiculous records he set this year.
Yeah. Dude, if he wins, if Peyton Manning wins, is there any debate that no quarterback has had a season like this?
He did lose 3 games, though.
So what?
It shows
and,
that
And
he,
I know it's like 2014. You can't fart in the fucking quarterback's direction anymore. But we don't seem to remember that. We just look at numbers.
It's, statistically speaking, the most impressive season for any quarterback on paper. I mean, you can make the arguments, and Peyton will tell you this himself. Like, Dan Marino in 84... probably had a better season because he was just head and shoulders above the next best player, next best quarterback.
Yeah, and they always had a shit team around him, and it was back when you could, like, grab a receiver by the nut and just pull.
So, I mean, like, Marino's season then, like, if you've taken all that to consideration, was probably better. But, yeah, on paper, like, hands down, best season a quarterback's ever put together.
Shit. And I just said that because I had nothing to add. I got nothing. I just want out. I think we did a hell of a number here.
But yeah, no, next week we're going to get more into the matchup itself upcoming.
And, the actual picks.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk a little bit more about Brady. I do want to diss him a bit more in the comparison of him and Peyton.
Oh, so. Really? You mad, bro? I hated Sherman since the Brady you mad, bro shit. Again, because we're smart because we're quoting some fucking overused meme on the internet. Jesus Christ almighty. I can recite Caddyshack. I'm a goddamn genius. Good Lord. All right, you've been listening to Papa's Football Podcast. I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined by Howard Flood. Please find us on iTunes. That's the big way you can help this show. We don't really try to sell you anything. We just want more iTunes subscribers. That really goes a long way toward helping us. go on iTunes using either the podcast app or whatever the hell your inferior droid equivalent thereof is, and look up Papa's Football Podcast, subscribe, leave a comment, give us a bunch of stars. All five of them. Really? Really? Also, while you're there, look up Papa's Basement. That's the main show we do together. We'll actually be recording an episode of That Dirty Bees right now. And last but not least, check out thespookiescomic.com. Comic I write with my buddy. And in papasbasement.com for the Papa's Basement website that has a bunch of writing. There are all the plugs. Howard, anything for you?
Good game!